This is Cole Zimmerman, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan and Sierra Doctor. Severe thunderstorms moved through northwest Minnesota this morning, bringing up to 60 miles per hour winds and half-dollar size hail. There's also been rain today. In-dawn rainfall totals show Ottertail, Minnesota at 3.25 inches, Staples, Minnesota at 1.75 inches in the rain gauge, Wadena reporting at just under 3/4 of an inch of rain. In Hebron, North Dakota, in-dawn reporting 0.20 of an inch. Traces of rainfall are being reported elsewhere across Minnesota and North Dakota.
Severe weather does remain in the forecast for the weekend. Grand Forks National Weather Service meteorologist Austin Perot says there's a chance of thunderstorms tonight.
So the big story today obviously is going to be the severe weather potential across much of the area. We've had some ongoing thunderstorms progressing through northwest Minnesota this morning that has dropped ping pong ball to hen egg sized hail at times. That's going to be pushing out here through the late morning hours, but we do have some additional thunderstorms that are expected to develop later this morning into the early afternoon hours and also into late afternoon hours. And those are initially, we're going to get these like isolated cells that crop up here and there wherever the strongest forcing is this afternoon. But as time's going to go on, we're going to start getting into more of a line of thunderstorms that's going to sweep through the area.
And Perot says tornadoes and high winds are a possibility.
The biggest concerns from those storms, initially, when you have those isolated storms, our biggest concern is going to be kind of hail, damaging wind gusts, and the potential for an isolated tornado or two. And then as we get those thunderstorms congealing into one singular line, we're going to be more concerned about that damaging wind threat. And we are concerned about getting winds of up to 70 to 80 miles per hour this afternoon. For afterwards, this weekend, it's going to be much quieter, and we're going to be a bit cooler than normal this weekend. So it's going to be much quieter after today and tonight.
Crops in the Midwest should benefit from cooler temperatures next week, but World Weather Incorporated says rains will be limited, and much of the Midwest will dry down over the next 2 weeks. Crop conditions are expected to be most favorable from the eastern Dakotas through Wisconsin, with mild temperatures and beneficial rains expected again midweek next week.
With the exception of a few seed potato growers, most of the potatoes are planted in the Red River Valley. Here's Northern Plains Potato Growers Association President Donovan Johnson.
Some of the crop is already coming up. It's looking good. It's pretty early to tell. I actually had a grower today say, you know what, I don't want to say this too loud, but could use a little bit of rain. And so here we are. Life is good. We're ready to go. Bring on the season.
National Sunflower Association Executive Director John Sandbachen says sunflower planting progress is essentially done.
You know, USDA, you know, projected us at around like 83% complete planting, but I think we're higher than that. I'd say we're close to, you know, that 90-95% right now. There was a big push, you know, through last weekend to get everything in before the last rain came through. And I think most acres are done. There might be, you know, a little bit of replant in places, but pretty much I think everything's planted.
A late start to spring planting had some farmers switching planting plans to include sunflowers.
Well, you know, USDA projected in their March intentions report that we would be up about 10%. But, you know, given the later spring that we've had here, some of the setbacks some of the other crops might have had, I think we're going to be closer to about a 20% increase, and it's something that, you know, the industry really is looking forward to getting that extra seed because of this increased demand of what's happening in Ukraine. We're getting calls from producers that are brand-new producers, some that have not grown sunflower since their grandfather grew them on the farm, and so a lot more interest in sunflower this year, you know, given the weather conditions, plus also with this strong demand we're seeing.
A report from Iowa State University says fertilizer prices are 4 times higher than 2020 levels. Iowa's attorney general requested the report in February for justification of rising prices. The report found no evidence that fertilizer companies are artificially inflating prices, but other factors like supply chain disruptions, disease outbreak, and world conflict have contributed to price changes.
Former USDA Undersecretary of Trade and National State Departments of Agriculture CEO Ted McKinney told House Republicans this morning state ag departments are concerned about fall fertilizer availability for farmers.
Will it come? Will it get there? And at least my very small sampling suggests that it might be a little bit better than we had thought, but that doesn't mean prices will come down. So the cost of inputs will be there. Big concern about cost of inputs on things like crop protection products. We do not see, nor do we hear, of price gouging. It's more ingredients to make up those products. And some of those ingredients come from countries around the world that aren't so friendly. I think we're seeing some of that in Russia and the Ukraine, China, for example. And so where these companies and so many others in industry source their ingredients and their products is becoming an issue.
McKinney also talked about global trade, saying the level of respect for U.S. agriculture in the regulatory system is well respected. U.S. grown products are known to be safe, affordable, and high quality.
So we have got to continue this focus on trade. We cannot backslide. We cannot slip because it's so critical.
Grain market inflation rally weakening as fund managers exit their long positions. Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzulo thinks traders are nearing the completion of the liquidation of a wide basket of commodities.
And what I mean by that is we notice that copper has reached a 14 or 16 plus month low. At this stage of the game, we notice that canola, it was around 940 back in October of 21. It ran up to 1,225 in May to close this year at that level. Currently, we're now below the October 21 opening, right around 875 earlier in the trading day. Now we are starting to see that come back. And WTI crude oil, same kind of type of mindset. We ran up from February to March, went from 95 to 130. Now we're got back down to about 101.
Get the latest news and weather updates anytime by listening to the Red River Farm Network podcast. You can find those on RFN.com, Spotify, Amazon Alexa, Apple Podcast, and Google Play. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Grain traders have been expecting a correction in the grain markets following the recent run-up in prices. Clayton Pope Commodities President Clayton Pope says what was not expected was how big the down move was.
The severity of it, I would have to say, was unexpected. We sure didn't expect it to just, you know, collapse like it did. I mean, you know, what the heck, November beans in the span of less than 2 weeks have dropped, what, $1.60 or something like that. I mean, I think a lot of people felt that this stuff, it was overdone for right now, particularly with the forecast getting a little less threatening, but I mean, let's face it, the bean weather uncertainty is almost completely, you know, much further down the road.
Pope says a severe sell-off was largely fund movement.
I think what we really saw here happen in this industry or in this sector of the economy, the ags and other ones too, is the funds, you know, these actively traded funds, whatever signals they looked at about a week ago, they kind of saw it as this inflation story having kind of peaked for right now and decided to take some money off the table, whether you're looking at grains, metals, you know, Bitcoin, energy complex, and started to lighten up. And then by doing so, there weren't a lot of buyers there, so the drop was pretty hard to begin with. And then that created sort of some negative technical signals, and these funds are really governed by their, you know, trading rules, which are technical more than fundamental, and I think, you know, just kind of snowballed.
USDA's weekly export sales report delayed by 1 day due to Monday's federal holiday. Net old crop corn sales reported at 672,000 metric tons, up noticeably from the previous week and the four-week average. New crop sales reported at 358,000 tons. Old crop soybean sales reported at a marketing year low, 29,000 metric tons, down 91% from the previous week and 88% less than the four-week average. Wheat export sales of 478,000 metric tons is 6% more than the previous week, 47% more than the four-week average.
USDA's weekly grain transportation report showed U.S. Class 1 railroads originating 21,400 carloads during the week that ended June 11th. That's down 10% from the previous week and 4% less than the three-year average. The average July shuttle car secondary rail car bid offer were $71 below tariff during the week ending June 16th. That's $571 less than the previous week, but $206 more than a year ago. Barged grain movement totaled 769,000 tons, down 7% from the previous week and 4% lower than the same week last year. As of June 16th, the cost to ship a metric ton of grain from the U.S. Gulf to Japan was unchanged from the previous week at $9.50 a ton. The rate from the Pacific Northwest also unchanged at $45.25 per ton.
On Thursday, the House Appropriations Committee adopted language ordering the USDA and the Food and Drug Administration to coordinate potential changes to the regulation of gene-edited animals. FDA has the authority to regulate this, but the USDA still wants to oversee the regulation. According to AgriPulse, the department hasn't set a timetable for proposing regulations.
California senator introduced a bill that would extend overtime pay to farm workers. If passed, the Fairness for Farm Workers Act of 2022 would extend overtime pay to all U.S. farm workers who were excluded from the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938. That act established the federal minimum wage and overtime rules.
Lake Benton, Minnesota farmer Bob Worth is back as the president of the Minnesota Soybean Growers Association. Worth replaces Mike Skaug, who stepped down after 1 year of heading the association. Skaug remains a director on the board. Wells, Minnesota farmer Darren Johnson is vice president. Cannon Falls farmer Brad Hovell is the new secretary. Broughton farmer Ryan McCanthium is the treasurer.
Ag Watch Market Advisors President Dewey Strickler says crop conditions are not as ideal as many traders would like.
Eastern part of the Corn Belt, though, I think it's going to be limited as far as the rainfall is concerned. Actually, I've been out the last 2 days looking at some crops around in our area, and we're showing quite a bit of stress on the corn crop, and it is in the pollination stage. So, you know, when you have that, you're going to be looking at some yield losses there. So, you got to keep in mind, the growing season is still young.
The South Dakota Ag Department and Natural Resources approved $234 million in grants and loans. Check out more details on the South Dakota Ag Department and Natural Resources website. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Mikkel Pates. Mikkel, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
Well, this is going to be a look at the complications connected to this Red River water supply project that brings water from the Missouri River over to the Cheyenne River that goes into the Red River. And there's 167 miles that involves burying a 6 foot tall pipe in the ground, 7 feet below the surface. And as you can imagine, that's a kind of a major project, especially if it goes across your land. So the farmers and landowners that are seeing this happen are thinking that the compensation levels for this kind of project are considerably less than they would be if they were even having an oil or gas pipeline going across their land. I think the expression that they use is 10 times less compensation for 10 times more impact. So I talked to some landowners, and I think it's going to be a major issue on a major construction project. And so one of the risks that farmers are concerned about is, what happens if it doesn't get built? Then am I liable for, you know, taking care of a pipeline that may never be used? A lot of people are involved, and some of them have a lawyer, and so that's what the story is about.
Well, Mikkel, sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Taking a quick look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, grain markets and livestock markets trading mixed. July Minneapolis wheat down 6.5 at 10.74. July Chicago wheat down 8.25 at 9.29. July corn up 8 at 7.54 3/4. December corn up 18 3/4 at 6.74 1/4. July beans up 18 1/4 at 16.11 1/2. November beans up 10 at 14.25 1/2. Thanks for joining us. This is the Red River Farm Network.